Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Deeper Truth is back, and better than ever. From John Carpenter and Journey with Mary, Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles, Monday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Yours truly with the Saint of the Day. And Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender. We're back with an even deeper truth. Join us.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, we're back with live shows, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you tonight. And I see most of our team is here as well, so it's going to be a good show. And what we do with this show is always look at appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere in the world where they have appeared, and where she has appeared and where they have investigated, because there's a lot of details to pass on to you, and we try to do the best job in sharing the research and the investigations and what they've decided with these appearances, which we didn't plan. She started showing up, and people documented her appearances over time, over centuries, in almost every country in the world, and approaching 2,600 and probably about 70 on record now. Of course, they're not all officially approved, but that's a huge job. I know most Catholics can name maybe 5, maybe 6 apparitions. I've studied 100, and that sounds like a lot, but not when you consider there's 2,600 and something on record. So, but we're doing our best to bring you the best ones with the best details and best investigations to give you the best idea of what's going on. And we are so glad to be able to be live again and back on the air. Had a short break there, as you might say, technical difficulties, but we are back. And we started this show in January of 2014, every Sunday night. So we had a lot of reruns we could play for you, and we kept things going in that manner. So tonight we'll be taking a look at one in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, in honor of the July 4th weekend. We'll be looking at a alleged appearance to none other than George Washington. We'll get back to that story in a minute, but let's visit with our team. First of all, my co-host Donald Hartley has found his voice again, and how are you tonight?
Hey, John, it's good to have you back, and it's good to hear you, man, and it is so awesome. But I'll tell you this, of all of the reported Marian apparitions around the world, and I think somebody's coughing here. I'm thinking, but only one has been formally condemned. Only one. And so I think that's important to notice. To note, only one has been formally condemned, and so the church investigates these, ordinarily from the bishop level most of the time. Sometimes the Vatican gets involved like it has in Medjugorje. And
right.
So we got a lot there. And we got Mike with us tonight. How you doing, Mike?
Doing fantastic. It's good to be back.
Yes. And also we got Joseph from Colorado. How you doing there, Joseph?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How are you guys?
We're doing
it's
okay.
Good. It's good to hear you.
Thank you.
And we have also, we got Doc in Tennessee. Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And Donald, it's great to hear your voice. You sound 100% better.
Oh, he certainly does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got my voice back, and that was just in the nick of time, actually. But you know, while I was working it out, everything out with Blog Talk Radio, I was still putting our shows out. That you know, the archives, and we've gotten about 5,000 hits just on those archives in this layover, and so
really?
It's great to be back. Deeper Truth Live.
Yeah.
I like that.
Deeper Truth Live. Yeah, I do too. And so these are excellent shows. And Dr. Gregory Thompson will be back tomorrow night too with the Eucharistic Miracle as well. So we're getting back on board ship. And so
and how,
that's good.
And how are you actually feeling, Donald?
Well, I after having two strokes, I'm feeling like I've been healed. I had cancer of the prostate, and that's been healed too, all gone. And so,
well, praise God.
It's a praise God. And so I've been walking with a flag, my flag detail. I've been walking with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary flags. 3x5s, and man, that's awesome. Beautiful.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful.
I've gone 30 miles in the last 5 days.
Oh, really? Wow.
Even, yeah. And right down Main Street there in Gardner, Kansas, and man, I'm getting all kinds. I mean, a lot of people are liking it. I'm doing it, to give thanks for my life and for my healings, but also I'm giving it because I'm taking a stand against the WoW and all this Antichrist, that stuff that's being put out all over the place. So I'm taking a stand for our Lord and our Lady. That's why I'm one of the reasons I'm doing it. So
praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, in honor of our July 4th weekend, we will be visiting Valley Forge. And it was their terrible winter when the troops had retreated to Valley Forge. And it was a pretty rough time there in 1777 in Pennsylvania, Valley Forge. So as the 13 colonies were fighting fiercely to gain their independence from corrupt British rule, General George Washington was the commander-in-chief of the pitiful, struggling army. The soldiers were weary, starving, ragged, and without enough warm clothing for the bitter winter in Valley Forge. In fact, George Washington knelt in the snow in front of his troops and prayed to God for blessings upon his dedicated and suffering men. General George Washington experienced an apparition. It's interesting because he doesn't call it the Virgin Mary, but the first thing he says is, "Beautiful Lady," which is what we hear in all the apparition stories. And this beautiful lady was clothed with the sun, right out of Revelation, clothed with the sun, who appeared to him during those dark days of starvation and defeat at Valley Forge. Mysterious and unidentified, This lady appeared to Washington to encourage him, guide him, and warn him about future events in this country that had been entrusted to God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary 1 year earlier by the first bishop of the 13 colonies, Jesuit John Carroll. So Jesuit John Carroll had entrusted our country to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in 1776. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
So Anthony Sherman, a colleague of Washington and an eyewitness to the event, recounts the story, which was first published in the December 1880 issue of the National Tribune. And this is his story. Quote, George Washington would hardly have been the type of man one would expect to be seeking visionary manifestations or to be easily taken in by them. From the opening of the American Revolution, we experienced all phases of fortune, now good, now ill, one time victorious, another time conquered. The darkest period we had, I think, was when Washington, after several reverses, retreated to Valley Forge, where he resolved to pass the winter of 1777. Ah, I have often seen the tears course down our dear commander's careworn cheeks as he would be conversing with confidential officers about the condition of his poor soldiers. You have doubtless heard the story of Washington going to the thicket to pray. It was not only true, but he often used to pray in secret for aid and comfort from God, the interposition of whose divine providence brought us safely through the darkest days of tribulation. The man goes on to say, quote, one day, I remember it well, the chilly wind whistled through the leafless trees. Through the sky, though the sky was cloudless and the sun shone brightly, he remained in his quarters nearly all afternoon alone. When he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual, and there seemed to be something on his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dark, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters of another officer who was presently in attendance. After a preliminary conversation of about half an hour, Washington, gazing upon us with that strange look of dignity which he alone could command, said, quote, I do not know whether it is owing to the anxiety of my mind, but this afternoon, as I was sitting at this table engaged in preparing a dispatch, something disturbed me. Looking up, I saw standing opposite me a singularly beautiful female. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the purpose of her presence. A second, third, even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of her eyes. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me. I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. In other words, he was frozen like in ecstasy. I essayed once more to address her, but my tongue had become useless. Even though itself had become paralyzed, a new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me. All I could do was to gaze steadily at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere filled with sensation and grew luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy the mysterious visitor, herself becoming more airy and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensation which I have sometimes imagined accompanies disillusion. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All alike were impossible. I was conscious only of gazing fixedly at my companion. So, just to stop here for a second before she starts speaking, such a classic description of a visionary where they're riveted to their position, all they can do is stare, they really can't move or do much, and they're totally entranced and caught up in the experience with this beautiful lady with a clothes with the sun. So, pretty obvious details to start with. How do you guys think?
Amazing. Totally,
yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing.
It's a characteristic.
It gets a lot better.
It's a characteristic.
Huh?
It is a characteristic that we see in other Marian apparitions that have been recognized by the church. We see this a lot, the light, and we see Our Lady in that glory, that heavenly glory, and and how it affects the vision, or how it affects those who are seeing the vision, whether they're young or old.
And if he was delusional, he would have gotten an answer. You know, delusional people always get the answers when they ask him because it's all in their head. But despite his asking, she gave no answer. And he didn't know what to think about that. So it adds more reality right there.
And for the time that this is way before many of the apparitions.
Yeah.
And what kind of belief did George Washington have in general?
He was a Mason.
Yeah.
He was a Mason.
Right.
And that was what it was. That was be his background. But he converted to the Catholic Church, and I've written on this as well before his death.
Mm.
So he died a Catholic.
I've heard this one before. We talked about it on the show, and I've had time to contemplate it. And I think, you know, God knew what we were fighting for, and he knew the course of the world to come. So I think it was appropriate that even though it wasn't Catholic, even though he wasn't Catholic, he was the leader of an army that was fighting for a righteous cause, and I believe God was on our side during the Revolutionary War. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs, and because of that, I can see God coming to him, if nothing else, to set him on the path towards his conversion.
Right. Well, the fact he prayed so much, you know, that doesn't go unnoticed in heaven. They hear the prayer.
Sure.
They hear. They know what troubles they're having right now. And it's just exactly when Mary often shows up is when somebody's seeking help from God and in a dire state, and heaven wants to inspire and to bring some hope, and this is the perfect timing for her to show up.
This is what I got here. There are small, very small groups today that continue that tradition of that anti-Catholicism. But by and large, most of the rhetoric has died down, or at least a lot of it has. Whenever someone did convert, like George Washington, to the Catholic faith, there would be this weeping and wailing happening in the quarters of those who had died in the clutches of the Scarlet Women of Rome. That's what they were fearing for. This was the way that the Negroes, or the black population, the slaves, did, because that was what they were taught. So the Negro slaves, who had been influenced with some of this Baptist anti-Catholic bigotry, passed on the story that Master George had been seduced by the Scarlet Woman of Rome. And so George Washington was secretly one of the largest contributors, giving more than even Bishop Carroll to the building of St. Augustine's Church in Philadelphia. He very often attended Mass. Think about that. He very often attended Mass, and he often told his troops that if they did not refrain from abusing the holy name of Jesus, they would surely lose the war. That's what he said to them. And I've heard that in the past, that President George Washington had become a Catholic on his deathbed. And so that's kind of, but he was, to your question, he was a deist. You know, basically, President Washington is remembered in his earlier years being a deist. It is the belief that reason and observation of the natural world are sufficient to determine the existence of a creator, accompanied by the rejection of revelation, which he would not reject it after all what he experienced. He grew.
Well, now we'll hear some about how he grew.
Okay.
Because he heard a voice say to him, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At that same time, the female visitor extended her arm eastward. I looked and beheld a vision of a heavy white vapor rising at some distance, fold upon fold. It gradually dissipated, and I watched before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America, the billows of the Atlantic Ocean, and between America and Asia lay the Pacific. Again, she said, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At that moment, George says, I beheld a dark, shadowy being standing, or rather floating, in midair between Europe and America, dipping water out of the ocean with his right hand. The shadowy being cast it upon America, while that in his left hand went upon the European countries. Immediately a cloud arose from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while it remained stationary, and then it moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through at intervals, and I heard the smothered groans of the American people. A second time the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose heaving bellows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." So I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages, towns, and cities springing up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again, I heard the voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century comes. Look and learn." And with this, the dark, shadowy angel turned its face southward, and from Africa an ill-omened specter approached our land. It flitted slowly over every town and city of the land. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. And I continued to look. I saw the bright angel, on whose brow rested a crown of light, on which was traced the word Union, place an American flag between the divided nations, and say, quote, "Remember, ye are brethren." Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second. When it talks about a shadow coming from Africa and then people fighting against each other, I think it's clearly referring to the Civil War, especially when they mention the word Union placed on an American flag. So it's interesting she said all that, since it was
I agree
before,
with that.
Way before the Civil War.
Now, one more, because I don't want to belabor this, but here's something more. When President Washington was laying down on his deathbed, he called for Father Leonard Nele, S.J., who traveled from St. Mary's Mission to Mount Vernon, crossing the Piscataquis River. After about 4 hours at the Washington plantation, Father Nele sent a sealed packet to Rome. And the Negro slave Juba was known to be President Washington's personal aide. He states that Washington began making the sign of the cross prayers, and this was noted by all the slaves before meals. That is a Catholic tradition. Now, Lieutenants Stephen Molin and John Fitzgerald also notes that President Washington was making the sign of the cross before his prayers. So that I think closes that situation. But I agree with the idea about the Civil War is one of those things that he was being shown. I think there was like Civil War, yes, but also World War One, World War Two. I mean, this gets kind of deep when you get into it.
Don,
and when Mary says to him,
Don,
"Remember, ye are brothers, ye are brethren." That's a way of saying, "Quit fighting each other. You guys are all Americans."
Yeah, there's more that joins everybody together than divides. But people always forget that.
Don? Hey, Don?
Yes.
I don't know how much detail there was in your description, but is there any indication as to how many stars were on the American flag? That would, if it's more than 13, that would tell you something.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Well, we're not done yet. We might get some clues about that yet. So after she says this, "Remember, ye are brethren," instantly the inhabitants, casting from them their weapons, became friends once more and united around the national standard. Again, I heard the voice of my most beautiful and mysterious visitor say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this point, the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. Taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose dark black clouds that were soon joined into one. Throughout this mass there gleamed a bright red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud. And I saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I saw springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the clashing of the swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." And then as the voice ceased, the bright angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Once more, I beheld villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel planting the azure standard he had brought in the middle of them cried in a loud voice, quote, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." Now, I'm going to stop right there again, because at first I thought, well, that sounds like World War II, you know, started over in Europe and Asia and all these armies marching and black clouds from so many countries, and then spreading to America in a sense, I guess you could say maybe Pearl Harbor and dragging us into the conflict, and then, you know, and then it was over. But I don't know. Do you all think that, or you have other ideas?
Well, there's one thing. It mentions a cloud. But we have something else around this day and age that we call a cloud. It has to do with our computers and hard drive storage. Could it be a reference to that?
I don't know.
What?
That's pretty early before the cloud was ever even developed. But who knows?
Any other ideas? There's battles being fought by the contents of the cloud. There may not be battles as we know them in the World War I and II, but they're still battles, and they're mortal combat.
Yeah. Mm. So, any other thoughts on that? All right. So the last comment she made, she said, "While the stars remain." Or the angel actually said, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the union last." And taking from her angelic brow the crown on which was emblazoned the word union, she placed it upon the national standard while people, kneeling down, said, "Amen." The scene instantly began to fade away. I saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I had first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious, beautiful visitor, who now said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third, but the whole world united shall not prevail upon her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for God, his land, and the Union." And with those words, the beautiful visitor and the bright angel accompanying her, which is common with apparitions, all disappeared from my sight. And then this man said, "Such, my friend, were the very words I heard from Washington's own lips. America will do well to profit by them." So thus, George Washington had an experience which sounds exactly like those of visionaries who encounter the Blessed Virgin Mary. They see the beautiful lady in the bright light and are mesmerized into a state of ecstasy in which they too feel immobilized and held in a gaze with Blessed Mary, while she imparts visions, predictions, messages, and even warnings. Angels often accompany Blessed Mary as well, as this happened for George Washington as well. Can you figure out what the three great perils were? And that's where we leave it.
Well, you know, one thing, John, something
yes.
about this experience had an impact on George Washington, because it is reported that he had a picture or painting of the Virgin Mary in his living room.
Wonder if it looks like the lady he saw.
Well, or similar. I can't help it.
Hey,
it's interesting.
Wouldn't it be interesting if he had then seen a painting of the Virgin Mary and looked at it and goes, "Oh, my gosh, that's her. That's the lady." That would have been so cool.
Or maybe he had that painting commissioned by what he saw, you know? Yeah.
Now, if you go on my website, divinemysteries.info, and click on the apparitions picture, and then go to the table of contents, and then go to United States, which I think is the first one, and then go down to Valley Forge, you will see a lot of artistic drawings of this experience. You'll see him and the angel pointing. You'll see some of the visions as they were depicted in this series of paintings. So you actually can kind of see some illustrations that were made of this story. And it's interesting, definitely interesting.
Definitely. And the reason we wanted to share this particular story tonight is because of our July 4th weekend here. I mean, that's, to me, that's really good. And it's very important for us to pray for America. And we pray for the Catholic Church here. We pray for Pope Francis. We pray for all of our clergy. We pray for all those who have addictions of all kinds. We pray for those who need deliverance. And we pray for the prodigals. And so we pray for America. And that's what Our Lady, that would be the source and the purpose of such visions, is as warning and as to help us see. And we have spoken on the Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is very important to our American, you know, the Basilica there in Washington, D.C. I've been there, and John,
no,
I think you've been there, too.
Oh, yeah, loved it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I could spend a week there.
Yeah, easily.
So
you
much
could spend
see.
A week there and still not see it all.
Yeah, that's possible. But it was quite a trip. So this is important with our 4th of July weekend to realize that even in the very beginning, in the middle of the Revolutionary War, a year after a priest dedicated our country to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and here, a year later, which doesn't surprise me when you've done that, when you've dedicated your country to her, she's going to show up for things. And there, a year later, she shows up to him when he's probably at his worst, with his army just in tatters and freezing to death and probably very depressed, and Washington's on his knees praying. I mean, what a perfect time for Mary to show up. Just makes lots of sense. But I was kind of surprised that she went on to show him so much of the future. I mean, like, he's going to be around for World War II or for Civil War, but she's still showing him because I guess she wants him to put the country on the right foot and keep some goals in mind, especially union. That word was emblazoned on her crown and brought up several times, union.
I've written on that. I've written on that very thing, too. You know, without a vision, a nation will fall. And that's part of, and that's exactly, I think that it's all connected here. And, you know, I really feel that the Constitution that we have, it's intended to keep us in line with our fathers, you know. And that's the intent.
And boy, has that gone off track. But that's a whole nother show.
Right.
But any other reactions about the story or questions, things that might have been a little puzzling, or maybe you got an insight on something you heard?
Has the church taken any kind of an official position on this particular apparition?
Well, again, it's one that's documented and listed, but they don't really have any comment. They're not saying it's wrong. They might hold back because no one ever identified it as the Virgin Mary. Now, we can see the distinct clues and the pattern of evidence that we see in all apparitions, so that's why we're highly suspicious.
Well, John,
the angel appeared with her.
I'll tell you who it is not. It is not Hillary Clinton.
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, because she only wears pantsuits. Yes.
Hey, Joseph, right on.
Well, you know that. You know that another American president had remarks about another apparition of Our Blessed Mother. And that would have been Ronald Reagan, who talked about
clip.
Fatima to the Portuguese legislature. Here's some of what he said.
This belief in human dignity suggests the final truth upon which democracy is based. A belief that human beings are not just another part of the material universe, not just mere bundles of atoms. We believe in another dimension, a spiritual side to man. We find a transcendent source for our claims to human freedom, our suggestion that inalienable rights come from one greater than ourselves. No one has done more to remind the world of the truth of human dignity, as well as the truth that peace and justice begins with each of us. And the special man who came to Portugal a few years ago after a terrible attempt on his life. He came here to Fatima, the site of your great religious shrine, to fulfill his special devotion to Mary, to plead for forgiveness and compassion among men, to pray for peace and the recognition of human dignity throughout the world. When I met Pope John Paul II a year ago in Alaska, I thanked him for his life and his apostolate. And I dared to suggest that in the example of men like himself and in the prayers of simple people everywhere, simple people like the children of Fatima, there resides more power than in all the great armies and statesmen of the world.
Well, I love that.
I do too.
I wish our politicians talked like that now.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
You don't
They'd never get on the news.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
I
was never a fan of praying for my enemies. Just couldn't do it. You know, as I would always jokingly say, I do pray for them. I pray they all go away. You know, Obama, Biden, this Pope. Yeah, just pray they go away. But you know, God made it clear for me to pray for my enemies, and he even mentioned, you know, about my joke. You know, I do pray they go away, but for me to pray for them. And it's a hard thing, but I've been doing it, obviously, since God personally told me to. And even though he did, it's still not easy. You know, it's just that they aggravate me so much that it's hard to pray for them, you know, in a positive way for them to change and have a heavenly reward, you know. And it's like, you know, it's like those who say, you know, well, you know, Hitler, you know, in a chance that he's going to heaven, you know, and though I basically agree with that, you know, you just never know, you know, we don't know what anyone at their end, will say, you know, how they'll turn to God, and have a witness of sort and beg God for mercy and to change their hearts. And I think that's not going to happen unless people do pray for them. So, you know, we do have to pray for all these leaders of today to change and turn to God, you know, and not be a hypocrite or false witness as our current president might be.
Yes.
Is, yeah.
All right.
I'm so glad the show's back on the air. Yeah, I really am. I've missed this.
Well, we're glad you're back with us.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
It is. And so we pray for everybody out there in deeper truth land.
Next week we'll be going to a very famous apparition, but there's a lot of details a lot of people aren't aware of, and that's with Mexico City. Our Lady of Guadalupe starts next Sunday, and we'll be there probably a couple of weeks. But, you know, I throw this out there, and a lot of people aren't realized. We always think of Juan Diego as the only person that she visited, but there was another.
There is an uncle.
Person. That's right. But, and in fact, I think it's always interesting. He saw the image, but the uncle was told by her that she wanted it called Our Lady of Guadalupe. That's where it came from, through her visit with the uncle. And the uncle had no idea what she was talking about. And meanwhile, Juan Diego had the image, but no title for it. So he put the two of them together, and that's how we got the title for the image. So it's little stuff like that that we'll cover. And so if anyone thinks, oh, I know that story, yeah, well, we try to dig deep on this show and give you the deeper truth.
And that's excellent. Now, tomorrow night, we'll be focusing on it with Dr. Gregory Thompson. We'll be doing looking into the Eucharistic miracle of Ophida, O-F-F-I-D-A. And I love this story.
Yeah.
And so I just love this story. All the visual effects that it has, and all the animals, the donkey, the mule, and the ducks, and the geese, and the birds, and everything. I mean, this is a story for the ages. So tomorrow night, that's what we'll be looking. We'll be taking a look at this tomorrow night. So
it really is good to hear your voice again.
Man, I was kind of concerned about that. But, man, I got my voice back. Thanks to the Lord. The Lord.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Can't keep a good man down. Rise up.
Well, and so, back in the saddle again. Back in the saddle.
Yep. Hey, let me tell you, go ahead.
Go ahead.
John, I had text you about being assaulted. What is it now? 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago now, maybe. After my experience with God, I've now been assaulted 14 different times. Since Easter Monday, and God said he was going to allow Satan to throw it at me, and of course the one was just ridiculously bad. Three guys, came in as I was leaving to go to Planned Murderhood, and then I took stuff outside, came back in, grabbed more stuff, and I turned around. There were three guys and they beat the crap out of me. And at one point they said, if I would say I'm not going out there to Planned Murderhood, that they would leave. And I said, go to hell. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make believe, I'm not going to, I'm not going to teeter-totter against that. I stand where I stand. And, I still got two spots on me, that bleeds since that attack, and I was a bloody mess, and my place was trashed, and I couldn't even get up off the floor for about 2 hours, and then paramedics actually picked me up to get me off the floor because I couldn't get off.
Does anyone ever file charges on assault
that? Well, yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
I mean, I called the police. I mean, it was. I don't call the police very easily, but it was too bad to not call the police. And police can make you feel pretty crappy. I tell you that much. I'm just not the fan. They look at me very strangely, and I know it, and I feel it. And And then I hear things after they were gone. Do they ask other people, you know, just stupid things. And even my friend that was a friend of mine that came here to help me, they asked me, was it him? I'm like, huh? You know, what are you, nuts? You know, the police just don't get it, you know. And you mean, especially if I say planned murderhood is behind it, you know, and then they, you know, they, of course, you mean that wonderful women's health center, you know? Exactly. To be assaulted that many times since my experience with God, Easter Monday is amazing on its own right. That the assaults have just been amped up, you know, and some of them are with the families. Twice in the last month, I was at a girl's house helping her tell her parents, and the mothers assaulted me because they were like, had I not butted in, they would have nothing to worry about. It would all be over. Their grandbaby would be dead, you know. And these two also noticed my medicated shoe on my left foot, you know, that I hurt a year ago now and still not healed, and they stomped on it, making that worse again. I think that toe's probably gonna say bye bye eventually. I don't see it hanging in there anymore, I tell you. And that will be another issue. But meanwhile, I am plugging along, but it's been hard because the assaults have been a little much, and my pain where it was better after my experience with God, it has now gotten even worse, you know, because of so many assaults. But it hasn't stopped me, and, you know, I've been successful, of course, and all praise and glory to God.
Well, Joseph, take heart. Friday was the one-year anniversary where my guardian angel flipped me on my side midair, so I break just some bones off my spine instead of breaking my spine in half. You know, our guardian angels aren't going to stop us from suffering. That's not their job. Our guardian angels are going to see to it that we get through the suffering.
Yeah.
You know, I thank my guardian angel as often as I can remember. Seriously, I do. I thank him for saving me with breaking my back, and I thank him for breaking my leg in 2016 so I didn't have to go through the unholy madness of COVID.
Angels have definitely been in my life. That's for sure.
Dude, I bet you got a troop of them, dude.
They work overtime.
Next week we're going to Guadalupe, Mexico, and so I've got to rock and roll. And I thank you all, good discussion tonight. And thank you, John. It's good to have you back, man. God bless
when
you
I
all.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom.
God bless everybody.
Let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
Yes, sir.